today we're going to be talking about leadership. Leadership with God, because obviously we can't do it on our own. I started writing this with the thought of speaking about Moses and his leadership. I wondered what qualities Moses had to be given, what qualities Moses had to be given this enormous task of moving God's people, the Israelites, into safety. But as I looked into the story of Moses through the book of Exodus, I soon realized that Moses had nothing special. He was a child born to a Hebrew. They were the slaves. The Hebrew babies were ordered to be killed. The Hebrews were slaves to the Egyptians. They were inferior. Moses had speech difficulties, and with this came a lack of confidence in his own talking abilities. Moses had anger issues, just like any of us. So what was it about Moses that God chose him? I began to realize that it... Hang on. That it wasn't about who Moses was. It wasn't about what Moses was like. It wasn't about Moses' confidence, skills and abilities, but it was about the fact that God chose him. God chose Moses, and this was obvious from the moment Moses was born into a world that wanted him dead. Through the times when Moses argued that he wasn't good enough and he begged God to choose someone else, and it becomes abundantly clear that Moses could only lead with God by his side. We each have it within us to be a leader to some degree. God's designed each one of us to be leaders, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, in your household, or amongst friends. God has created each of us as individuals with unique desires and characteristics that set us apart from other people, from everyone else. God didn't want a world of robots. He created you to be specifically and uniquely you in order to lead people to Jesus and eternal life. Despite what we believe, with God, all things are possible. Today we'll look at leadership surrounding the life of Moses. We'll reflect on how God was by his side throughout every step of his life. Like all leaders, Moses had successes, hardships, and faced opposition. Moses' life from the very beginning was filled with both hardships and victories. We're going to look at Exodus, so please open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Chapter 2, verse 1-4. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. I wonder what defines a fine child. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Why did Moses' mother hide him? The Pharaoh had decreed that all Hebrew baby boys were to be thrown into the Nile to drown because he feared that they might become too powerful. Luckily for Moses, the Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses and wanted to keep him as her own. Pharaoh's daughter knew Moses was a Hebrew baby but felt sorry for him and told her servant to find a Hebrew woman to nurse Moses. It ended up being Moses' own mother that nursed him. So point number one that I want to make today is God plans. His life began with people out to kill him, and in this he had no say. God looked after Moses though. God wanted Moses for a bigger purpose. God had a plan and kept Moses alive, safe, and even with his own biological mother who nurtured him in the best way as the best start of life. As leaders, we need to know that God has a plan in every situation and in everything we say and do, even though we might not understand. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 25 says, "One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, why have you returned so early today? They answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock. And where is he? Reuel asked his daughters. Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat. And just like that, Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter to Moses in marriage. You know how it goes. Happens to the best of us. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Point number two is God provides. Moses was at a point in his life where he had done the wrong thing. He got angry, as we all do at times, and so killed someone, as we all do at times. No, hopefully we don't do that. But he had to run away from the Pharaoh because once again people wanted him dead. He fled Egypt and went to Midian, where he knew no one and had nothing. God sent Moses a whole family. This meant that Moses was provided with safety, with shelter, with food and companionship at a time where he had nothing and was in a foreign land and knew no one. I love the scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 to 31. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? This is why I don't meal prep, guys. God's got it under control. As soon as I pick the kids up from school, what's for dinner? I literally finished work 2 minutes ago. I have not thought about that. But God will always provide for our needs. We just need to trust him and have faith in him. As leaders, some things will seem difficult or even impossible. Barriers try to get in the way, such as limited time, money, resources, our own sinful natures and our selfish decisions. But we need to trust that God will provide all that we need, just like he did for Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 17. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. See, God even listens when we complain. God even listens when we cry out to him. When things aren't fair and you cry out to God, he's hearing you. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? Sounds like he's making up excuses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey. Number three, God promises. God saw his people hurting, and he made a promise to Moses that he would take them out of their misery and into a land flowing with milk and honey. God chose Moses to lead his people into the promise that God had for them. We are so blessed as Christians, in Australia especially, to have the Word of God so readily available to us. We have the Bible available to us in a multitude of ways, such as in churches, at home, on apps. Most of us have a Bible at home, right? On apps, on our phone, on computers, on tablets, via the internet, on audio and on the screen, just to name a few. The entire Bible is full of God's promises. God's word is a book of promise to us, and just like God fulfilled his promises to Moses and the Israelites, he will also fulfill his promises to us. How great is that? Exodus chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. So God's not only given Moses a script, he's also backed it up with more evidence so that the people believe him. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, but who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Put your hand up if you've ever said that to God. Don't send me. I'm not ready for this. But then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. So God's given him two signs. He's given him the ability to talk through sending another person and has given him a staff to do a miracle. Number four is God is patient. Moses came up with all of these excuses and all of these arguments as to why God should send someone else and not him, but God had the patience. You may have felt the call of God to be a leader, but you resist that call of God because, like Moses, you lack confidence or are terrified to speak in public. This doesn't come naturally to me. I'm actually an introvert. So when I was first asked to come up and do a communion message, I was terrified. And this was the initial reaction of Moses, who told God that they would not believe him or listen to his voice because they would say that the Lord had not appeared to him. I would tell him he's lying. Moses also told God that he was not eloquent and was slow of speech and tongue. God told him that he would be with him and teach him what he should speak. But still Moses pleaded with God to send someone else, which angered God. Moses second-guessed God. He questioned him on his plans. How you lead should not be swayed due to your levels of confidence in yourself. Let me say that again. How you lead should not be swayed due to your levels of confidence in yourself. What gives you the right? A leader appointed by God needs to have an understanding and awareness of the fact that they are in no way perfect, and people will not always agree and will not always do what you want them to do. However, God will be with you each step of the way. Lately, I've been learning more about leadership. Through work, we're doing a leadership study run by Craig Rochelle. He's a pastor, an author, and a speaker, and one particular book he wrote is called Winning the War in Your Mind. He speaks about this in one of the podcasts in this leadership series. He discusses how we are in a spiritual war, but a lot of us don't like to think about it. We ignore it. We push it aside, and we get blow after blow by the devil, but we try and block him out and continue to do things in our own strength. The devil tells us lie after lie so often that it becomes part of our thought pattern. The question to ask yourself today is, how has and how is your leadership affected by the lies the devil is telling you? For some of us, the lies may cause us to lose confidence in ourselves. The lies may cause us to lose confidence in other people if you've been hurt by others or let down. The lies could make us lose confidence in God even. Ask yourself how often you have stopped yourself from starting the conversations that could lead someone to God. Let's have a think about that for a minute. How many times have you stopped yourself from telling someone that you are praying for them because you have lost faith that God will use you in that situation? Moses believed the lies the devil fed him, that he was not good enough, that he couldn't speak well enough. We often look at experiences and circumstances and forget that God is always in control. God politely explained, patiently, and only when Moses continued his questioning did God begin to show anger. We can learn from this in our own leadership. It's easy to get frustrated quickly or speak out of anger or snap, but we need to follow God's example and be patient with others. Moses submitted himself to God's calling to lead after a stern rebuke for criticizing the stammering tongue that God gave him. As Christians, as I said before, we've all been called to lead. No doubt we all have a list of disqualifying attributes and failures, but don't test God's patience by second-guessing his call on your life. Exodus 4:18-20, Moses returns to Egypt. Are you still with me? I feel like that's so cliche, but are you with me? Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Staff. Number 5, God protects. God kept Moses safe by only sending him back to Egypt once the enemies were gone. God protected Moses. He could have sent him immediately to Egypt and Moses would have gone straight back into the danger zone, but God didn't. As leaders, we need to make sure that we are trusting God to protect us and our work as we face often difficult and dangerous situations. The world around us is full of hatred for the Word of God. It's full of hatred for Christianity. And it's full of hatred for even Christians themselves. And it can be scary sharing God's word, but we need to have faith that God will protect us. Exodus 7:14-24. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that's in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn into blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in vessels of wood and stone. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile. And all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Well, it's not water, it's blood, so you wouldn't drink that anyway, right? Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. Number 6, God perseveres. If you've read the story of Moses, you know that God sent multiple warnings, multiple plagues, multiple examples of how powerful he was, but he persevered. Leaders in whatever field they are in, business, sports, politics, churches, are going to face opposition from others outside of their organizations. Moses and Aaron faced opposition from Pharaoh when they came to him in Exodus 7 and told him to let God's people out of the land. Moses and Aaron had been to the Pharaoh multiple times to ask him to let God's people go. Each time, the Pharaoh declined and God still persevered. God is gracious to us, but he will persevere with his plans. You could see his graciousness in the story of Jonah when he refused to go to Nineveh. God could have had Jonah drown in the ocean on that crazy night, but he rescued him and he persevered with him, resulting in an entire city being saved. Moses questioned God and asked God to choose someone else, but God persevered. Why? Because God had chosen Moses. God had his mind set on Moses for this mission. God sent Moses and Aaron multiple times to Pharaoh to give Pharaoh a chance to let the Israelites go, and he kept persevering when the Pharaoh refused. Think about parenting from this point of view. As parents, we are our children's leaders. Do your children do what you tell them to do every single time, straight away? No. You often have to repeat yourself. Over and over. It can make us feel angry and irritated or worried, but we cannot always control others, and we need to show the perseverance God showed in this situation. As a leader, we need to guide, empower, and persevere. We must have faith that God's will shall be done because God perseveres. We can make mistakes as leaders, and as humans, we can sometimes doubt, but God perseveres. Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. And number 7, it's the last point, is God deserves praise. That song keeps going and going. I didn't read it all to you, but I think it's a really good story to read. So when you go home, start on the Exodus, on the book of Exodus, and read about Moses. Although it feels like we put in a lot of hard work, effort, and planning, we need to ultimately remember to thank God for our wins and our successes. Just like the people of Israel praise God with a song of gratitude and reflection, we must ensure that God is getting our praise for all he does, for all he is doing, and for all God will continue to do. Often we pray when we need something. It's easy to remember. Often we pray when we want something. Often we pray when we're feeling down or unwell. But God wants us to pray to him in the good times too. God wants to rejoice with us and celebrate the wins. God deserves our heartfelt thanks and praise, just like the Israelites gave him when he gave them the freedom he promised. Can the musicians come, please? So, to recap, these are the points that we talked about today. Number one, God plans. Number two, God provides. Number three, God promises. Number four, God is patient. Number five, God protects. Number six, God perseveres. And number seven, God deserves praise. I've almost done the apostolic thing of using all P's. But I didn't get there. So God, we're going to close in prayer today. I pray that this message has really touched our hearts, that our faith in you has been made stronger, that whatever walk we go through, whatever journey we take, Lord Jesus, that we remember that you are in control. You have chosen us to be where we are at this particular moment, and you have a plan and a calling on our lives. So Lord God, help us to not second guess that. Help us to not doubt your calling on us, Lord Jesus. Help us to not doubt that you are there to protect us, you are there to guide us, you are there to lead us. And in God overall, help us to not ask you to choose someone else, because God, it is an honor to worship you, to serve you, to be the one that you chose to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.